are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Kaspic, and on this show, we provide episodes 3 days a week for now, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, I want to talk about the Mets' acquisition of Francisco Lindor. I know a lot of Giants fans were hoping that the Giants would try to acquire Francisco Lindor. There certainly wasn't a lot of talk about the Giants being one of the teams that was interested. And I'm going to explain why, despite Lindor being a great player, I don't think it was the time or the place, really, for the Giants to make that move specifically. We'll also talk about Tomoyuki Sugano, his decision to return to Japan. First, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and FanGraphs as a Rotographs contributor. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then began hosting this show prior to the 2019 season. So just to get it out of the way, Tomoyuki Sugano, we talked about him yesterday, Japanese ace, you know, an ace in Japan, not necessarily an ace in the States. His 30-day posting window expired yesterday. The Giants were said to be interested, but he did not reach a deal with a major league team and will return to Japan. So maybe we'll talk more about the details of that later in the show. But I want to talk about the Mets' acquisition of Francisco Lindor. This is a major trade. The Mets, under new ownership, are being far more aggressive, and this represents the biggest trade of the offseason. So the full trade was actually the Mets acquiring Francisco Lindor and right-handed pitcher Carlos Carrasco from the Indians in exchange for Ahmed Rosario, Andrés Giménez, and a couple of prospects, Josh Wolf and Isaiah Green. So on the one hand, it looks like a somewhat light return. You might be wondering, you know, Francisco Lindor is easily the best player. Carlos Carrasco is probably the second best player in the trade. How does something like this make sense? And it all lies in the details. It's the details of the contracts of the players. So the thing about Lindor is that he is only under team control for one season, the 2021 year. Carrasco is signed for two more years with, I think, a vesting option for a third. So just to get right to the point, I think there are several reasons that Lindor right now to the Giants doesn't make the most sense. Number one is that the Giants still have a player named Brandon Crawford on their roster. And Crawford is set to earn $15.2 million in 2021. And let's not forget, he looked pretty darn good this season. He actually had a better offensive year than Francisco Lindor. And I don't mean to be disingenuous. I mean, I'm just stating facts. Crawford had a 112 weighted runs created plus, meaning about 12% better than average. And Lindor had a 100 weighted runs created plus, and the previous year just 114. So obviously, Lindor is a better player, much younger, 27 years old. Would he make the Giants better? Yes, for sure. But what are you going to do with Brandon Crawford if you acquire Francisco Lindor? You're just going to cut him and eat the $15.2 million? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. He was a productive player in 2020. He's been a lifelong Giant. I still have hope that he's going to be a solid major leaguer. He's probably not going to be much more than just a solid player. And there's certainly downside for worse than that. And Lindor is like a star player. But what do you do with Brandon Crawford? And someone might say, move him to the bench. And that seems like an obvious solution. But Crawford doesn't have a lot of value if that's his role. A lot of his value comes from being on the field and being at the shortstop position. So if you make him a bench player or a guy who moves around and plays third and second, he just doesn't really fit into that role because his offense isn't really good enough. And if you move him to other positions, the defensive value lessens for him. The other factor is that even with Francisco Lindor, if the Giants somehow made this trade, which is and disregarding that they would have to give up probably some major league talent as part of the acquisition, because that's what the Indians got back here with Ahmed Rosario and Jimenez. But even with Lindor just straight up added to the Giants without subtracting anybody off the Giants, he doesn't make them immediate sure thing contenders. So you're trading for 1 year of Lindor and risking the possibility that he could leave in free agency the next offseason, and he doesn't even necessarily get you to the playoffs in that 1 year that he's there. Like, this is similar to when the Giants acquired Andrew McCutchen. Lindor is a more impact player. He's younger. The Mets certainly have a desire to sign him long-term. That's not really what was going on with McCutchen. The Giants were just really hoping to maximize that 1 year, whereas Lindor is a long-term play, no doubt, for the Mets, and would have been for the Giants if they acquired him. But just like when the Giants acquired McCutchen, there was a lot of excitement and hype, and yet it didn't actually really translate. That team had too many flaws. It didn't lead them to the playoffs. That's just the reality in baseball. One player is not enough, and I don't think the Giants are at that point where one player is going to push them over the top. Especially when they already have a competent player at the position that Lindor would play. So it's not that much of an upgrade. Like, if we think of it in terms of wins above replacement, might project Crawford for about 2 in 2021 and Lindor for maybe 5. If you're being optimistic, 6. So you're talking just about a 3 or 4 win upgrade. And I just don't think 3 or 4 wins is enough to like make you feel really comfortable with the Giants being playoff contenders. I think they'll have a chance. I think they currently, as they stand, will have a chance. But they're not like right on the cusp. So anyway, we'll have to talk more about this in the second half of the show. But first, are we ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. The NFL regular season is finishing up, with the playoff picture becoming clearer. There's only one place that has you covered, and one place we trust: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and only $216.79 at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, going to continue talking about Francisco Lindor. Would he have made the Giants better? Of course. Any good player would make any team better. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're the best fit, and I know a lot of Giants fans like viewed Lindor as someone who would be exactly what they should be doing right now, but I'm just trying to explain why I don't think so. But first, 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. But getting back to Lindor, we left off making the point that even with Francisco Lindor, the Giants would still be fringe contenders. And then you've given up prospects and potentially major league pieces. And then you have your 1 year and maybe you don't even make the playoffs. And then maybe he leaves in free agency. So I don't know that you want to risk that type of move if the fit isn't perfect. Now, obviously, I think anybody who thinks the Giants should have acquired Lindor is thinking that they should or would be able to sign him to a long-term deal. And I mean, that's what the Dodgers did with Mookie Betts. I think Betts is a superior talent to Francisco Lindor, but the idea is the same. But the other factor, of course, is that the Giants are going to have like unlimited money to spend next offseason. They have $100+ million coming off the books, and there's going to be a historic class of free agents, especially at the shortstop position, and this will coincide, of course, with Crawford's contract being one of those Giants contracts coming off the books. So I do want to point out, I am not saying it is a guarantee that even if they wanted to sign one of these free agent shortstops, that they would be able to do so. So there's certainly some risk there. And it's also a distinct possibility that one or two or three or more of the five young star shortstops who are going to be free agents next year ends up signing a multi-year deal, a long-term deal, before they reach free agency. The shortstops, going off memory, hopefully I can remember them all, are Lindor, of course, Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Trevor Story, and Javier Baez. So we'll see how many of them get to free agency, but the Giants are going to have tons of money to spend, and all of those guys are going to be available to just sign instead of having to give up prospects and major league talent to bring them in. So I do want to talk for a second about what I think the deal would have looked like what would the Giants have had to offer to match or best this offer from the Mets. And I also don't want to forget that Carlos Carrasco is involved in this deal, a starting pitcher coming from the Indians to the Mets. So Carrasco's inclusion in the deal actually makes it more of a fit for the Giants because he's a good starting pitcher locked up for at least a couple of years. But I thought Ezra on Twitter made a good comp for the major league talent the Giants might have had to give up. He listed Mauricio Dubon and Austin Slater as comps for the two major league talents the Mets had to give up. So, again, I don't think they're perfect comparisons because Rosario is a former top 10 prospect, one of the players the Mets gave up, a shortstop who's also very young. And Jimenez just made his major league debut in 2020 and looked pretty good and is a good prospect himself. Not a top 10 guy, but a solid, you know, 50 future value type prospect. So Slater is a little bit older. He's in his late 20s. Dubon has never really been a top prospect. So it's not a perfect comp, but I think it's probably the best that we're going to do if we're thinking about what might the Giants have had to give up in terms of major league talent. And then the two prospects, Josh Wolf and Isaiah Green, are also solid in their own right. They're both second round picks, Wolf from 2019 and Green from 2020. So, you know, these are no throw-ins either. So the fact is you'd be giving up 9 years of team control between Slater and Dubon, plus the prospects, which is, of course, 12 years of control for when they debut, and then they have 6 years that they're under club control. So we're talking 21 years of team control versus one for Lindor and two for Carrasco. I get it. Lindor and Carrasco are superior talents probably, but is that what you want to be doing? I think maybe if you had a big need at shortstop, then yeah, you might pull the trigger on this. but I just don't think it was the best fit for the Giants. The fact is, though, if they don't sign anybody long-term, if they don't make a trade and lock somebody up or sign a free agent like Trevor Bauer to a long-term deal, they're going to go into next offseason with a ton of question marks, a ton of money, but also a ton of spots to fill, just kind of an unprecedented situation. And I don't think they want to do that, so it's going to be very fascinating to follow. If they do get themselves into that situation, it's going to be probably the most fascinating offseason I've ever covered. But that's just my two cents on why I don't think that this type of deal for this specific player at that specific position made the most sense right now. That being said, do I think they should aggressively pursue 2021 upgrades that fit the team? Absolutely. I still think starting pitching is the biggest need. They still need a left-handed bat that can move around the infield. Not a starting everyday shortstop, to be clear. All right, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for listening this week. We'll be back next week with three more episodes. So please hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review in the Apple Podcast Store. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. And until then, we'll see you next time.